Grace and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation today is found recorded in Revelation in the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Here ends our text. Christ Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, dear Christian friends, our text this morning from the Holy Word of God is drawn once again from the beautiful Bible book of Revelation. Last Sunday, we were reminded how this book was written by John the Apostle while he was languishing in exile on the Isle of Patmos in the Mediterranean Sea, to which he had been banished by his enemies for his faithful preaching of the resurrected Christ. One day, while on that island, back in chapter 1, we're told that it was on the Lord's Day. In other words, it was a Sunday. That Jesus appeared to him in a magnificent vision and directed him to write this book. Jesus intended it to serve the very special purpose, namely, to provide John and his fellow Christians with a spiritual shot in the arm in the face of the trials that they were suffering. He wanted to bolster in them the confidence that no matter what their senses told them, no matter how heated the opposition became against them from the world, they had reason to remain entirely optimistic because their risen Savior was alive, well, and still in control. And now through the book of Revelation, he granted them, as it were, a sneak peek behind the scenes of world events to show them his divine majesty and how he is indeed ruling history for their benefit. And also to let them know that he was going to bring all the gracious promises that he had given to them to their fulfillment in his own good time. So this morning I want to ponder some of these Bible truths from Revelation. We Christians who are living also in spiritually turbulent times, how our risen Savior, as he promises here in our text, will make everything new for us. He's going to provide us with a new home created specially by him, with a new relationship, lived in close face-to-face fellowship with Him, and a new life of happiness, undisturbed, made possible only through Him. Our text this morning is drawn from the last of seven spectacular visions that Jesus caused John to see there on Patmos. You will notice a similarity between this one and the vision that we considered last Sunday. In the vision we considered last week, believers were pictured standing with palm branches in their hands, gathered around God's throne in heaven, dressed in beautiful white robes, which, as we know, was symbolic of the forgiveness Jesus won for us by His sacrificial death, in which the Holy Spirit has dressed us in by leading us to faith. Here in our text, chapter 21, here John writes, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." So the same glorious picture, Jesus is saying that through repentance and faith in Him, through our faith in Jesus, the Holy Lamb of God, He has washed us of our sin guilt and made us fit, ready, and beautiful in holiness, dressed with His own righteousness, again by faith, Holy Spirit given, so that we may live one day in Jesus' holy presence. And there's another heavenly truth that He adds to this already beautiful picture in the text, in a vision that we have here in chapter 21. John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." So here Jesus is revealing to us the mystery of the Christian faith, the great mystery of God, that He's going to remove from the scene, cause to pass out of existence, the home we are living in now. No, not the apartment or condo or domicile you're residing in Arvada or Wheat Ridge or Denver or wherever. Not that home, or not only that home, but the present world, which has been corrupted by sin and which is groaning and pains of childbirth. You know, all the upheavals in nature that we hear about in the news on a regular basis, like the wildfires in California that destroyed numerous expensive homes recently, the devastating tornado that struck a suburb of Wichita, Kansas, week before last, the derecho that stampeded across South Dakota last Thursday, 100-mile-per-hour winds. These are all manifestations of the world groaning in pain under the sin curse. And Jesus is saying He's going to remove this present world with all of its pains and troubles and replace it with a new heavens and a new earth, the one that Jesus alluded to in the upper room that night when He said, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." But an encouraging truth, dear Christian friends, this is. And what a shot in the arm spiritually for us Christians who likewise groan inwardly as we await the day of our redemption to know that we have an eternal dwelling place, not built by human hands, whose architect and builder is the Lord, waiting for us to move into. And what incentive also for us as Christians to throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and to run with Christian endurance, Holy Spirit provided, the marathon race of our faith, which has been marked out for us, fixing our eyes always on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, that we might then finally be awarded with the coveted prize, that new heavens and new earth, which He will create specially for all Christians. And then he will also make something else new for us to enjoy. As John says here, Jesus will bring us into a totally new relationship with him, in which we'll be privileged to live in close fellowship, face-to-face fellowship with Jesus. That's the truth the Lord presents in the next scene of the vision, where John says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The word that the Holy Spirit chose to use, John, which he inspired to use here in Revelation in chapter 21 to describe our future existence with Jesus, is a word in the Greek language which means tent. Do you remember how in the Old Testament, when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt under Moses' leadership, he commanded the Israelites to construct a special tent or a tabernacle, a place where God provided the Israelites with visual evidence of his gracious presence all through their desert wanderings as they wandered their way through the promised land, which they ran into a variety of challenges and troubles and problems, many of their own foolish making. He revealed his presence continually by a pillar of cloud by day over the tent, over the tabernacle, and a pillar of fire by night. And on the day that the tent of the testimony, as it was called, a tabernacle, when that tent was set up, the cloud covered it. And from evening till morning, the cloud above that tent looked like a fire. And whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites knew that it was time to set out on their desert journey. And wherever it then settled again, the Israelites knew that was the place to camp. And as often as they saw that pillar of cloud above the tent and the pillar of fire by night, they were assured, our God is with us, guiding us in love. He will take care of us and keep us as the apple of his eye. And fast forwarding to the New Testament, notice how the same word tent is used to describe that. John chapter 1, that famous verse, the word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. That's the word, he actually tented for a while among us. Jesus pitched his tent here on earth for a while that he might rescue us from the punishment of eternal separation from him in hell that we deserve for our sins, living a life of perfection according to God's laws, and then suffering our punishment on the cross. And then what happened? After Jesus finished his work as Savior, he pulled up stakes and returned to his heavenly home 40 days after his resurrection. We're coming up on Ascension Day now, I think the week after next, on May 26th. And while it is true, dear friends, and we rejoice to know as Christians, Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age, even though we can't see him. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where two or three are gathered in my name, as here in his house, here at church, I am there in your midst. And the psalmist says, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, says the Lord. Your right hand will hold me fast. Even though that's all wonderfully true, don't we all as Christians still long for the day when we'll enjoy personal interaction and face-to-face fellowship with Christ? We can relate to the words of another psalmist who said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear in the presence of God? And our text assures us of that. In the brand new, beautiful home that the Lord is going to create for us, it's exactly what's going to happen. He will tent with us in close, intimate, face-to-face fellowship. We'll no longer walk then by faith, but by sight. Now we're the children of God. What we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him just as he is. And another feature of our brand new existence in that brand new home that the Lord will fashion for us, Jesus will provide us with a new life of happiness, undisturbed, in which we'll experience joy and peace all the time and in every way. When we enter our new life with God, all that currently brings sadness and sorrow will be removed permanently. All the unpleasantries we experience in our lives now as a result of the fall of the first parents into sin in the beginning be like a forgotten dream. Yeah, that's beyond our comprehension, isn't it? It's possible for us fully to envision something so extraordinarily wonderful. Surrounded as we are by so much pain and sadness, what Christian is there who has not felt the tragedy and loss caused by the loss of a loved one? Which believer has not experienced the truth of Jesus' words to the disciples that night before he died? In the world you will have tribulation. But he reveals to us here in John's vision that all that now brings us grief, pain, and suffering and trouble will be behind us then, permanently. He'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. And one other reason, very, very important reason for our unbridled, perfect, unbroken happiness when we're in the new heavens and the new earth, John highlights in verse 8 when he says, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake burning with sulfur, which is the second death. So all the godless will be removed from the scene permanently. There'll be no perpetrators of evil, no mass shootings like there was another one recently we heard about in the news. No drug dealers or drug cartels. No celebrators of immorality. All who thumb their noses at God and trample his holy commandments underfoot with impunity will be eliminated permanently. And we who by God's grace have anchored our hopes in Jesus will then be confirmed in holiness, no longer even being susceptible to Satan's exploits, for he too will have been removed from the picture permanently. Notice also, dear friends, in closing, how the risen Savior underscores for us the certainty of these things happening. The spectacular beauty of our new home, which is to come, yeah, that causes a lot of people to scoff. Sounds like the stuff of fairy tales, delusions, and pipe dreams, they say. So Jesus provides us here with special assurance that what he tells us here will assuredly happen. First, by reminding us of who's in charge of making these things happen, our eternal Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, with whom nothing's impossible, who possesses the power to guide everything so that the history of planet Earth winds down exactly as it is here described. And secondly, by reminding us that he's the one who always keeps his word. That one word has failed of all the good promises he's given to his people down through the centuries, and no promise of his ever will be unfulfilled. He told John, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So then, dear friends, let us praise the Lord Jesus, the risen Savior, for providing us with this very special promise of the new heavens and the new earth, the home that he himself will beautifully craft and lovingly prepare for his church, his cherished bride, all Christians. Let us rejoice also knowing he'll bring these things to pass in his own good time. In the words of the Apostle Paul, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at God's right hand. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with